wat ek gou net oop maak hierso. Amen. I think what's so beautiful this morning is to realize that in one sense this isn't a church service that we come to, but this is family that gets together and we all contribute in this context. We all have the Spirit of God dwelling in us and we hear His voice and He speaks to us. And sometimes I think there are things we need to unlearn. And one of the things we need to unlearn is we go to a church service. It's both right, but it's far more than that. It's where we get together and we contribute. And you will see the gifts in operation, like this morning where Errol came. Where's Errol? Where are you sitting, Butta? Yeah, there you are. How's it, Errol? Where Errol will come and speak prophetically. And prophetic is encouragement and exhortation. And it's where we come together, we worship God together, and we spend together time as a family. But before I go on, I have a very special visitor here this morning that I'd like to introduce to you. She kind of popped up for a while, and then she kind of disappeared for a while. And Teresi, won't you come, my lovey? This is our new visitor in the midst. Come, lovey. I need to welcome her back into the congregation. Because after sabbatical, she kind of popped around here for a braai and then she just disappeared. And we're doing good. There was no reason for a disappearance. Maybe you want to just say hi to the congregation, because I know you got FOMO. And yeah, come here, Mikey.
I'm family. Yeah, the reason Derek was alone for 2 weeks here, I didn't abandon him. Amen. The first week at our operation, and the second week at a lovely ministry weekend with ladies in Hermanus from the Josh Jen Durbanville. And now I'm back next to you. Okay, I'm back. On one side, it feels like forever that I wasn't here, but this morning walking in here, I'm like, this is home. This is family. So, yeah, missed you all. And there's a lot of new faces. So, for the people that don't know this face, yeah, I'm Teresa, Derek's wife, and we're in ministry here, in leadership, and love to get to know you. So if you're new, please come say hi to me and introduce yourself, that I can just know who you are. I like to know everyone in the congregation.
Amen. And then also, it's lovely to have my daughter this morning, Christoni. Come here, sweetheart. Come, lovey, come. Come. It's part of being family. So this is my eldest, and it's such a privilege when she comes home on weekends. Now and then she comes and visits Dad and Mom, and we spend time together. Do you want to say anything to the congregation, Lovey?
Hello.
Do you have any like deep encouragement in the spirit?
You are all very beautiful in the Lord's eyes.
Amen. Love you, sweetheart. Oh, it's always such a joy. So I'm going to just put this on over here. Let's see if we can get this thing from switching off the whole time. So this morning, I'm going to play you a... Before I do that, just a little bit about my week. For some of you will know that as a family, we're facing quite a difficult time at the moment. And for those of you that I've been praying for us, thank you very much. I appreciate it. My dad's been in ICU for the entire week. He's out of ICU now. He appears to be doing better, but some of the doctors are still concerned. So it's been quite an intense week as a family. But then we had a highlight this weekend, and you'll see it's part of the message, but my older children, Kristen, Matthew, my daughter-in-law, Danny, they came home on Friday to visit us and spend time with us for the weekend. And it's such fun when we as a family get together. We're a family that loves to have fun together. We love to chat together. We love to make jokes with one another, play pranks on each other. Matthew and Timmy are always playing pranks on each other. And it's just a time of fun and fellowship. And it's partly of what I'm going to be preaching about this morning. And it's really a joy because the fun and the fellowship also evolves. Because we'll have a meal together, and then my son pulls out his guitar, and he'll start to worship, and then we'll start to worship and sing together. And it's a real family time, and it's something that I'm going to be sharing on this morning, is family and fellowship this morning. But before I do that, I'm going to play you a quick clip, which is one of my favorite clips about Josh Jen. If you're a visitor to us, or you've ever come to a visitor's supper, then this is normally what you would see. So if we can play, it's a minute and a half. I wonder if we can play that. And off the back of that, I'm just going to share a few things on family and fellowship. Thanks, Henri.
What if a church actually took God at his word?
Where every member felt a part of something eternal. And no matter who you were, where you were from, or what you'd done, you knew you had a part to play in something bigger than yourself. Where the Bible wasn't just a suggestion, but was our blueprint for everything we did, even the controversial parts. And those who led did so by being willing to sit on the floor first when there weren't enough chairs for everyone else. Where we didn't follow a clock or genre or cultural movement, we followed the Holy Spirit even when no one else did. And when we spoke about family, we actually lived it, with relationships that were loving, raw, and messy. Where miracles still happened, prophecies still flowed, signs and wonders followed, and the poor were welcomed with open arms. And above all else, when you walked into our midst, you couldn't help but meet the person of Jesus. We're not there yet, but this is our dream. Welcome to Josh Jen.
Amen. Isn't that a beautiful summary of who we are? So this morning, I want to highlight just a few things that Andrew said in that video. And the one thing, the first thing he highlights, he says, where every member felt a part of something eternal. And my question to you this morning is, I trust that you feel this way. And realize that this family that you're sitting here this morning with, that you're part of something that's eternal. Which means one day when you get to heaven, most of these people, well, hopefully everybody that you see around you will be your friends eternally in heaven. Have you thought of it that way? So this is something that's eternal in the purposes of God. And I trust that we see this bigger picture, that we see church the way Jesus sees church. Furthermore, he goes on to say, he says, when we spoke about family, we actually lived it. In other words, we lived family and we lived relationships that were loving, raw, and messy. Let's say raw and messy. Yeah, not the soccer player messy, right? Just raw and messy. Relationships that are raw and messy, and I'm going to expound a little bit about that. But this morning I want to talk about this concept of friendship and fellowship. And firstly, I want to talk about friendship. It's my observation that oftentimes people battle with this concept in the life of Christianity and church. And people you often find are lonely. I think if you were raw and honest to yourself, and I asked the question with all eyes closed, and what you'll find people are lonely. And friendship equates to relationship, and people struggle with this. And I want to share a little bit around friendship this morning. I have a few close friends in my life over many years, and funny enough, we have very different theological views. And different opinions on Scripture. But in spite of this, in spite of these differences in that, these relationships have worked. And I've always asked myself the question, why do my relationships with my friends work? Especially now, some of them are like 35 years already. And there are two things that I want to highlight in that. And the first one is the word maturity. And the other one is the word humility. Maturity and humility. And in 1 Corinthians 14:20, we read, brothers, do not be children in your thinking, but in your thinking be mature. You know that Jesus asks us to grow up. Amen? The Lord wants us to mature. we come as children in the faith, and then we grow up as men and women, and God wants us to come into maturity. In 2 Thessalonians 1 and 3, we read, "We ought always to give thanks to God for you, brothers, as it's right, because your faith is growing abundantly, and the love of every one of you for one another is growing." So it's a good question to ask when you look around you and the person sitting next to you. Is your love for that person growing? Yes, jy moet iets sê vir oggend asseblief, Anelda. Lulu, groei jou liefde vir my. Amen, dankie sissy. Your love's got to grow for one another. In friendships, your love has got to grow for one another. And maturity loves well. If you mature in Christ and mature in your walk with the Lord, you're one of the things you will notice that you know how to love well. Maturity not only loves well, but maturity forgives. Maturity forgives. Maturity understands the other person. Maturity empathizes with the other person's view. Maturity is caring and cares. And in this, as we grow in our maturity and we grow in our love for one another, it's important that we hold to these values. As we build this church that Andrew talks about, where our relationships are raw and our relationships are messy, yet there's a maturing and a love that we have for one another. Another word I want to talk about is just the word intentionality. When it comes to friendship, you need to be intentional. If you want to be my friend or I want to be your friend, we have to be intentional in our relationships with one another. In Proverbs, we read, "A man that has friends must show himself friendly." Very simple word of advice from Solomon, but the man that has friends must show himself friendly. In other words, you need to be intentional. And what that often looks like, and I think amongst the ladies, they do quite good with this, because jylle kan nie ophou praat nie. And you also can't keep talking off WhatsApp. You know, I just watch the WhatsApp goes, but it's just staying in contact with another, phoning one another, messaging one another, encouraging one another, showing interest in people's lives. If you want to be my friend, you need to be intentional with me. You need to show yourself friendly, and you must be involved in my life. You need to show interest in life. And remember, this morning we're talking about this concept of friendship and fellowship with one another. What does it look like just in the life of the congregation? So I need to ask the question, what do you think breaks down friendships? Anybody want to stab at it? Okay, let me just move on. I'll not ask everybody because we'll have, like, I'm sure, 10 answers here. But I want to give you a few things that breaks down friendship. It's important for you to know. If you're battling with your friendships, if you're battling with fellowship, if you're battling with intentionality with people, and if you don't even have the desire to want to get to know people, you really need to let Christ this morning align you in your heart. And one of the first things that I find that breaks down friendship is this word called pride. Pride. If you're very strongly opinionated about your views, I have a few friends that are really strong in their views, and it takes all the grace in me to in a sense humble myself and listen, but also help them to not be so strongly opinionated that you alienate yourself from people. People often have pet theologies. They've studied a certain thing in the Bible and from their view, and they hold so dearly to it that they're not open to anyone else's view, and so your view becomes very overbearing. Other times, I don't know if you've sat with your friends, and this is one sometimes I've got to watch for, but I don't like silence. Any of you like silence in conversation? I don't. So in other words, if I'm talking to people and they get quiet on me, ek moet praat, Johnny, ek kan nie help nie, ek myself nie help nie, ek moet net iets sê, because I don't like that. And something I've got to work on, but learn to speak less. when you're with your friends, in other words, give them a chance to speak about their lives and what they're facing in their lives. Learn to be teachable. Don't think too highly of yourself and you ought. Yes, belangrijk, maar jy is so belangrijk. Just hear other people's views and open yourself up to other people's views. Learn to put other people first ahead of yourself. And always learn to believe the best in the person sitting opposite you on your coffee dates. Learn to believe the best. Part of what was played in the video this morning, Andrew mentions this. He says, our goal is relationships that are loving, raw, and messy. You do realize that your friendships are going to be raw and messy. You get that. It's not going to go smoothly, am I right? No. So loving means if your relationships are to be loving, it means it is to be sincere. I'm sincerely interested in you. I'm not just ticking the box, but I'm sincerely interested in you. Raw. And raw talks of it needs to be authentic and it needs to be genuine. It needs to be real. Raw. And then lastly, messy. And I think this is kind of where we battle. We reach out in friendship and then things don't quite go the way it's planned. And then your friend is overbearing in their theology or overbearing in your view. All of a sudden, they want to give you advice on the new gentleman that you're dating that you don't want to hear. Hey, ladies? And what becomes a real good start becomes very messy. And all of a sudden, offense is taken. And am I right? If there's anybody in this meeting this morning that has never been offended, please raise your hand. I'd like to meet you. I really would. I would like to meet this person because we all find that we get offended in our relationships, in these messy relationships. And oftentimes, this leads to disagreement. And the reason for it is, why do you think we get offended? Anybody want to give me, come on, Stewie. Why do we get offended? Anybody? Because we have a sinful nature. You do understand that every one of you have a sinful nature. Do you know that? Are you aware of that? And it's because of the sinful nature in you and the pride in you and the arrogance and the opinionated and the overbearingness that often your sinful nature gets the better of you and it breaks down friendships. And so I've just briefly covered friendship this morning because I think we often don't know how to be friends. And we often don't know how to be intentional. But the at the base of this thing is if your heart is filled with love for the other person, you will take time to get to know them. You will take time to intentionally love them and be sincere because we are called to what? To love one another. Jesus says, how will the world know? How will the world know that we are his disciples? For sure, how will he know? How will the world know? Well, it's by the love that we have for one another. And sometimes it still amazes me. I think I've been here for 4 or 5 years. And it still amazes me there are people in this congregation that while I've made a huge amount of effort to try to greet them, whatever, they've made absolutely no effort to actually ask me about my life. They are so consumed in their lives and what's happening in their lives, that the questions never reverse. So like if I come to Christian, I say, Christian, how are you doing? No, it's well. Christian, how's he that? It's fine. But he never asks me, but Derek, how are you? And I want us to, as a people, to learn when it comes to friendships, that this is a learned behavior and it's something that we've got to be intentional towards. And we have to learn to be friends. Does that make sense? You do understand that this is in the heart of Jesus. This is his desire. This is when we build a church, we're not coming to church services. We're not just going through the motions, but we are building friendships that are raw and authentic and sincere. Amen? Amen. Can we just wave and say amen? Amen. Yes, wonderful. I want us to talk about fellowship for a moment. What does fellowship look like? Our people heard it describe it as two fellows in a ship and all kind of things, you know. But I want to just talk a little bit about this word fellowship this morning. And in Acts 2:42, which we all know, it says they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and they devoted themselves to fellowship. Are you devoted to fellowship? Like this weekend when my kids come home and we have fellowship together and we pick up a guitar and we'll worship and then we bride together. And then last night, if you're ever part of the Engelbrecht family, you'll know we're a family of a lot of fun. So last night we drove to Franschhoek. I said to the kiddos, okay, supper's on me. And we went to a pizza place. And on the way there, in the car, we did karaoke. And in our family, we are always having fun. And we got the ladies to sing, and then it's the men. And, I mean, we had the lyrics out in the car and the music cranked up. So if you saw us going down the highway singing Mamma Mia, then you know why. Because we're a family that has fun together. It's fun to fellowship together. It's fun to sit down at a restaurant, and we had this moment at the restaurant. It was quite funny, but we were sitting at a table. I was sitting opposite my daughter, looking at her. Teresia was next to me, and next minute, this water came flying through the table, hit my daughter on the back end over the menus, and we thought, what's going on? You know, I thought, where does this come from? I'm looking for birds, but I thought, no, it's too much water. And the table just behind us, there was a couple from foreigners sitting. And I think she wanted to play a joke on her spouse or whatever. And she took the glass and wanted to throw him and missed him completely. And it shot through and hit Kristen. Bam. I mean, now we start to laugh. I mean, because this is, you know, we are a family. We laugh. We have fun, you know. But they were so embarrassed. They got up and left. Shame. It was quite bad, you know. But you know, for us, it's like, oh, well, you know, it's part of life. I mean, these things happen. It was quite funny. But we love to have fun together or fellowship together. And I might say when we drove there, we didn't only, there was one worship song I think we sang, but the rest of it was really fun. What is Shania Twain? I feel like a woman, yeah. How does it go again? I feel like a woman, yeah. So the ladies had to sing I Feel Like a Woman. That's kind of, you know, what we, anyway. Moving along, we might have to cut that out. Just saying. It's important in fellowship that we share mutual encouragement one to another about Christ. It's important as God's people that we continue to spur one another on in Him every day in biblical fellowship. And this word fellowship, as we know, the word is koinonia. And koinonia denotes three things. And you saw it this morning. Contribution, sharing, and participation. You saw that this morning. We contributed. We shared worship together. We participated in what we do. And fellowship is not just being together. It's not just, we don't just get together as a family and we be together, but we are doing life together. We are laughing together. We are having fun together. It's raw, it's real. And I want to encourage us this morning that we are called to fellowship. We are called to this. And I'm going to show you in Scripture, in Corinthians 1 verse 9, it says, as God is faithful, who has called you into fellowship with His Son, Jesus Christ our Lord. We are called into fellowship with His Son, but we are also called into fellowship with one another. In Ephesians 4, we read, make every effort, to keep the unity of the Spirit through the bond of peace. How are you going to keep that bond of peace? Because it's relationships, it's friendship, it's fellowship. And you've got to make every effort to keep the bond of peace in it. In Galatians 6, we also read, it says, carry each other's burdens. And in this way, you fulfill the law of Christ. Now, if I'm to carry your burden with you as a saint in the life of the church, I at least need to know what's going on in your life. Am I right? Richard, wat sê jy? Dis mos so, nê? Ek moet weet wat in jou lewe aangaan. Het ek reg? Am I right? Yeah, we need to know what's going on in each other's lives to be able to carry one another's burdens. I want to talk briefly on forgiveness and fellowship. This is really important. And I want to highlight something this morning that you might have seen and you might never have seen. But it's a standard to which Jesus holds us to as his children and as saints. And if we can put up 1 John 5:1-5-10 in the ESV, 1 John 1:5-10. I'm going to read through it this morning and then I'm going to highlight something. I think sometimes we read scripture in isolation and we don't look at context. And I think it's important to look at context. So here we go, 1 John 1:5-10. This is the message we have heard from him and proclaimed to you, that God is light, and in him there is no darkness at all. Do you realize there's no darkness? Nothing in Christ. It's perfect light. If we say we have fellowship with him while we walk in darkness, we lie and we what? We do not practice the truth. But if we walk in the light, as he's in the light, we have fellowship with one another. We have fellowship with one another. And then it says, and the blood of Jesus, his son, cleanses us from all sin. If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. And yes, the scripture we all love to quote, this one. This is our kind of insurance. Whenever we know we've sinned, we go to this one. If we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Let's say amen. Amen. Do we all quote it? Yes, especially when we're confessing our sin. This is our highlight. This is our focus. If we confess our sins, he's faithful and he's just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we say we have not sinned, we make him a liar and his word is not in us. But can we just pull that one back quickly? Just one back. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another. I wonder if you realize that you can spend your life confessing your sin to Jesus, but you don't forgive. You see, to walk in the light, you have to forgive. But if we walk in the light as he's in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood just cleanses us from all sin. But our confession is not just we confess our sins, but we have fellowship with one another. Because you see, if you confess your sin, now you're making your vertical relationship right. You have to make your horizontal relationship right. And the horizontal relationship is fellowship. And where we see this is when you consider for a moment the Lord's Prayer. And Jesus makes this statement. He says this in Matthew 6. He says, for if you forgive others their trespasses, for if you forgive others their trespasses, there's no your maikies, ne? But your seer gemaakt het, ne? Your family members, relationships at work. If you forgive others their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But, if you do not forgive others their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive you yours. So I often, you know, in trying to help people in their relationships, I look at people that will confess their sins. They'll go and they know they've messed up in their fellowship, or they've messed up in their friendship, or they've done something wrong, and they'll confess their sins to Jesus. But you have to, after you've got this right, you have to get this right. So I'm of the opinion that forgiveness is conditional to you getting this right. Because if you don't get this right, Jesus says you won't get this right. Can you see that? That's quite hard. Am I right? It's difficult, but it's a requirement of Christ in your life. Jesus will forgive you if you forgive others. And if you do not forgive others, he will not forgive you. Your sins are then not forgiven. You can confess and say, Jesus, I confess my sin to you. He says, good, but go and make right. Another place of scripture, he says, lay your gift at the altar and go make right with your brother. What does he mean? He doesn't receive you or your gift until you make right with your brother. Can you see that? Can you see how important it is this morning in our relationships to make sure that our fellowship one to another and our friendship one to another is in Christ and found in Christ. Amen? And I touched on it earlier on, just on friendship this morning. And it's part of what I want to pray a little bit into this morning. And we're going to land over here, is this thing of loneliness. Jesus invites the lonely into family. But the family cannot afford to be dysfunctional. Can you see that? I know many of you come from dysfunctional families. My family was very dysfunctional at its stage. But thank God it's in the latter years as we kind of grew up, we got better at it. You see, a functional family, a godly family, which we are meant to be, needs to be those that understand friendship and forgiveness, that understand fellowship, that understand that God has called us to this. Like Andrew says, we're not there yet, but this is our dream. And part of that dream is the fellowship of the saints and friendship that we have. And my prayer this morning is in some way that you'll become more intentional with your friendships. That you'll ask the Lord Jesus to help you. And for those of you, and I'm sure there'll be many sitting here this morning that are lonely, I want to ask you to be intentional to reach out. Reach out to people. Reach out to them. Get to know them. Where's Timon? Hello, Timon, daar onder die leer. Hoe gaan het met jou? Ah, lekker. Timon reached out to me the other day. Hey, am I right? 2 weken terug, net Timon. And he offered to buy me a milkshake. Now, let me tell you something. When someone offers to buy me a milkshake, I'm in. But here's a young guy in the congregation. He's 15 years old. And he wants to spend time with the Otopi. You know, I'm close to 60, so, you know, I know I look much better than that. I'm all right, Evelyn. But he wants, and, you know, it was such a joy to just say, oh, okay, Timon, you can't pick me up because then you're going to be breaking the law, but so I'll come and pick you up. And then, you know, we got together around a table, and he can start to share his life with me and share his. He's very sharp in business. I'm just going to say that. And we spoke business and we spoke life and we weaved Jesus into it. And he asked me out about my life. He was interested to know about me. And then all of a sudden you see like a friendship start to form, you see, because he's being intentional with my life. And, you know, he could have not invited me. And I would believe that you are the better for it. Am I right, Timon? Yes, you're better off now that you're picking my meal from my kid. Yes, of course. Okay. You still have to pay for the milkshake. I paid for the food. I'm just saying. But anyway. But there was intentionality on his part to get to know me. And what I enjoyed about him, he didn't just sit down and go off about his life. He wanted to know a little bit about me as well, which was helpful. You know, because I can now, as a dad, I can share with him and say, hey, yo, let me share a little bit of my thoughts with you. But can you see that fellowship and friendship is part of the dream of what Christ is building? It's part of what he is building. And we need to embrace this. And we need to get past the raw and the messy. which I don't think we're ever going to get past, and we've got to get into this deep and sincere love for one another. There's a scripture in Ephesians 4, verse 32 that says, be kind to one another. Be kind to one another. You've often heard me stand up and say, if you're going to be anything in this world, can I ask you to be kind? Be kind to one another. Tender-hearted. What are those bierkies? There was those little bears. And the one that's called tender-heart. Can you remember, Gertie? Care bears. One of the care bears is tender. Tender-hearted care bear. And the next verse says, forgiving one another. And how must you forgive? As God in Christ forgave you. This is how you are to forgive. I want to just, I spoke about maturity, and I want to share a scripture with you in closing that in one essence, this is the evidence of whether you know that you are in Christ. How do you know that you are in Christ? Here we go. 1 John 4:16 says, John speaking says, in verse 16, he says, we have come to know and to believe the love that God has for us. Then he makes the statement, God is love. And whoever abides in love, abides means remains in love, abides in God, and God abides in him. If you want to know if you're in Christ, if you want absolute sure evidence of your salvation and that you're truly born again and that you're part of the body of Christ, it will manifest itself in the love that you have for the saints around you and the people in the world around you. Your ability to love. By this shall the whole world know that you're my disciples, by the love. Can you see it? So I'm going to ask you this morning that when you consider what I'm speaking to you about this morning, that you really take this to heart. That you really become faithful in your friendship and your fellowship with one another. That you really take it seriously how you love people and how you are intentional with people. Don't love people to get out of them. Don't come with an agenda or a motive, but come to give with your heart to them and say, I really want to get to know you. And in doing that, we build a family. So, we've been building on our family now for, I don't know, we married 17 years, sweetheart. So, our family became like a bit of a new unit 17 years ago. I was married previously. My wife passed away, Kristen's mom, and then Teresa came into my life, and she had to learn to love two older children, and then Timmy joined us. I got a twinkle in my eye, one starry night. And then played a song on a violin. No. And then Timmy joined us. And I mean, I'm just loving Tim. So in our family of dynamics, Kristen's 28, my son's 26, and then we got 15-year-old. And there's this big dynamic, you know. And what's so fun is to see how we evolve as a family. How intentional we are as a family. To give you an example, I know that Kristen leaves for work roughly 8:15 in the morning. She travels from Stellenbosch through to Valdeviapal. And I kind of know when she's going to be in the car, you see. And so I get all excited because, you see, I'm dropping Timmy off at school sometimes. And I know I can dial the button. And then I know she's on the road for 30 minutes. And we just yak about life. Am I right? We have fun. I'm intentional. I want to know what my daughter's doing. Now, I don't phone her every day. That's just weird. But I phone her regularly. Because I want to get to know, how's it going at the office? How's the things going? How are you, lovey? You know, what's going on in your life? And she's raw and authentic with me. It's not a gate day. And sometimes I start off, oh, you're going to the salt mines today. You know, and that's how we chat. you know? And then I know, okay, I've finished with Kristen. I know, okay, Matt's en route to Paro, and I know he's on the N1. They quickly, I dial in Matt. Hey, Matt, how are you? But you see, it goes vice versa, because sometimes they dial in with me. It's not just a one way. There's an intentionality of friendship. So they're my children, but they're my friends. Teresa's my wife, but says, may bester Mikey. May bester Mikey. You want to hear a funny story about her? So just because we're best of friends and we're married, it doesn't mean that our relationship isn't tested. Okay? It is. So as you know, we kind of traveled 3 months ago and we were in Europe. My wife loves to take pictures. Johnny, this for skriklik. I mean, you know those motivational speakers, they do this, and it's like a little staticky op die tand, like ching. So we got to do this ching thing every now and then because she wants me to smile in every selfie. And I mean, it's like little hands going. Eh? She wants to capture every moment because now I've spoiled her and this is her dream and she wants to capture every moment. But you know, if you don't have boundaries in life, then dan kan ons uit hand uitdruk, nee. Anyway, so we're in a country in the Swiss Alps and we were going with this train along this journey. It's like a 5-hour journey. And it's in the middle of nowhere. Ek praat, it's net sneeuw in een huisie in a bok. Maar miskien so kou in 'n blaartjie. I mean, it's really nothing out there. And we get to the station where we've got a crossover. Okay. And I'm already tense because we're going to cross over the train. And we get like maybe a minute or two to do it. Okay, Teresa says 3. Okay, she's just helping my evangelistic spirit here. Okay, 3 minutes. But 3 minutes isn't long because, you know, this tasse. And mummy will water and kosse. And so, you know, we've got all these things, and I'm the one carrying. And we run out onto the station, but of course, my lovely wife loves to take pictures. And so the train was in the perfect spot, and the little cuckoo bird was in the perfect tree, and the little sun was rising up over the mountains, and she just thought, this is her moment. She grabs out her camera, positions herself, and it's forward and it's backwards and it's sideways and it's and I mean she's getting the perfect picture and my stress levels are going up because I'm running for the train knowing we've got 3 minutes and if we miss this train then we're sitting in like minus 10 in the snow in the mountains and ons is soos Heidi en Pieter nê en ken julle vir Heidi en Pieter julle kyk vir my julle sal nie Heidi en Pieter ken julle kinders maar die ouer mense ken vir Heidi en Pieter nê and now and so I start running for the train, and I'm running with all the gear, and I get onto the train, and I look down the track, and about 40 meters away, my wife is just cling, cling. And I shout, lovey, you need to get in the train. And she goes, ooh. And she starts to run. I say, it's not any lungs to me. I think it's by a court. So it's like a little marmot. And she's running to get to me. And she literally jumps in the train, and I'm thinking, okay, we've got maybe 30 seconds. Sure, okay. Finally, and she looks up at me with this bewildered look, and she went, my phone! My phone! Where's my phone? And I'm thinking, what do you mean you've just... And I look down the track, and there lying is Teresa's phone. Now, you need to understand, the train's about to... And this is Swiss time, eh? When the clock strikes 12, it goes. And my wife, I said, lovey, we don't have a choice. And so there's the station and the train. And I put myself in the train and on the station. And I thought, if they drive away, they're driving with me. Because we need the phone because the train tickets are on the phone. Our life's on the phone. The bank's on the phone. Everything. I mean, we're going to be like asylum seekers in Switzerland if we don't get hold of the phone. And she ran, grabbed the phone, came running back and dived onto the train. Now, gentlemen. What do you think my response should be? Well done, my good and faithful servant. No. I mean, at that point, sanctification is difficult, Johnny. I'm just going to say. At that point, I'm not wanting to. I love you. I'm not quoting to her out of the Song of Songs at all. You must understand at that moment, ek is 'n bietjie opgewerk, né, Frans? Jy moet weet, né? die stoom nê, and it's and I can't hide the fact that ek opgewerk is because I mean minus 10 and the steam's coming out of my ears. So ek lyk soos 'n stoomtrein. And I'm red in the face. Okay, Lovie, how did I do?
You were quiet, so you done well. And I just said, I'm sorry.
And were we okay afterwards?
We were okay. We made up quickly.
The makeup was good. No. what I'm saying is that in friendship, and I'm using my wife as an example and me as an example, things go wrong and things are messy and it's difficult. And you got to love, and I didn't have to forgive her because she hadn't sinned, okay? I hear people say, I need to forgive you. And I'm going, well, what do you need to forgive me for? Well, you never greeted me. I said, no, not greeting you isn't a sin. Don't, yeah, let me just leave it there. I'm saying, lovey, you never sinned, it's fine, you know? But we had to work on it. And now it becomes intentional to make up. Am I right? Nee? And so I want to encourage you, if you're in the context of this church, yeah, and whether this is one congregation, we have 50 other congregations, but in your relationships with each other, please understand it's going to be messy and it's going to be raw. Please understand that there's going to come a time when you're going to have to get over yourself and work out your salvation in a sense of asking for forgiveness and receiving forgiveness. And if you find yourself in a lonely space, and I know there are many of you that are, I'm going to ask you to show yourself friendly, because that's what Jesus says, show yourself friendly. Maak werk daarvan. Because church isn't only about getting here and singing beautiful songs. It's part of it. But fellowship and friendship, and getting to know one another is something that's on the heart of the Father. And we want to live lives that please Him, am I right? Yes, we want to live lives that please Him, that honor Him. So this morning, I wonder if we could stand. I'm finished. I want to just end with a scripture in Ephesians 2, 19 to 22. I just want to read it for us. And it talks about church and church life and who we are. And why what I'm sharing you this morning isn't just my lekker gedagtes oor die goed, né? This is what's on the heart of the Lord. It says, so then if you are no longer strangers and aliens, but you are fellow citizens with the saints and members, you are members of the household of God. You are built on the foundation of the apostles and the prophets. Christ Jesus Himself is the cornerstone. In whom the whole structure, which is the church, is being joined together into a holy temple. A holy temple in the Lord. In Him you are also being built together into a dwelling place for God by the Spirit. For God to come dwell in us and amongst us, and for us to experience His presence, we have to live in obedience to the Father in our relationships and in our fellowship with one another. Where's the worship team? They can come too. So this morning, I'd like just for us to respond in our hearts. If you maybe are battling in a sense, and I wonder if some of you may be vulnerable enough where you may be battling with loneliness, as an example. Is there anybody like that? You're battling with loneliness. Yeah. Friendships. That you battle with friendships. Nezolan. Ja, dis nie maklik nie.